Sunday, the 18th of January, Chof Beis Teves, Rabbi Dov Brizak, respect and disrespect.
In the times of Mashiach, there will be a multitude of chutzpah, an abundant amount of chutzpah, a widespread plague called chutzpah, which we are experiencing in our days. Parents came to complain to me about their 11-year-old boy that was calling his father Arafat and Bin Laden. Another pair of parents told me about the father who got upset at his 2-year-old son, and he pulled his hair. 2-year-olds have hair, till 3-year-olds, some people don't touch the hair of the children, and he pulled his son's hair, and his son decided to take revenge on his father. So for the entire week, he called the father by the first name. Yasala, how are you doing today? Yasala, is everything okay? Yasala, how was work? And so on. Bikvisa de Mashiach HaChutzpah Yaske, the chutzpah is rampant, it's independent. I would even go as far as to say that in these times, respect may be becoming extinct. Hashem Yazor, how are we to react to this? What are we supposed to do? Of course, the first and foremost of every technique with regards to chutzpah would certainly be Choseich Shiftoi Sinei Benoi. I have to share with you something that's not to be believed, but I received an email advertisement from a plane airline company in the States. This company in the States is called JetBlue. JetBlue has a new competition and a new program. This program is called Jet Pause. Not P-A-U-S-E, P-A-W-S. What is the purpose of this program? To make the four-legged creatures on the planes more comfortable. And the lashon of this advertisement is that we're out for all of our customers, including the four-legged ones. As they consider the pets to be customers as well, not only the human customers. But let's take it one step further. If I would not have seen it, I would not have believed it. I would like to read it to you if I can find it quickly. It's an advertisement. The same advertisement includes, here we are, the same advertisement includes a competition. You can win a prize if you succeed at this competition. What is it? JetPaws Lookalike Contest. Are you and your pet two of a kind? Submit a photo for a chance to win a vacation package, a holiday package. Yes, do you look like your dog? How's your cat? Maybe there's a resemblance, you never know. I've seen a picture in a newspaper, and someone actually gave me an invitation, of a dog with a talis and a kippah. And it was about a bar mitzvah. Everyone knows there's a bar mitzvah. But there's something called a bar mitzvah. It's a new innovation for now, for these times. You're laughing, people actually do that. I've seen invitations for it and so on. The difference between man and animal is being knocked down. Why is that? Because that's how society is acting nowadays. If they act like animals and they're becoming like animals, it's no wonder that they will treat themselves like animals and give tremendous respect to animals, because animals are also becoming part of a society which the humans are behaving like animals. What is the difference between a man and an animal? Reb El Lapian asked. He asked it differently. He says, you can eat what you want, and an animal can eat what they want. So we can both do what we want. So what distinguishes us from an animal? The ability to not do what we want. The ability that when I have a desire and I have an urge, and I do not fulfill that desire or urge, I do not go according to what my instincts in the direction that they pull me, that's the difference between man and animal. Unfortunately, society doesn't fulfill that dictum, and they do go after what they want. If it feels good, do it. That's the advertisement I once saw on a Coke bottle. Skip, jump, hop, whatever feels good, do it because you feel like it. That's it. So how crucial is it in this day and age that we discipline? Because only through discipline will our children gain self-discipline. There's no question. There's no question that if we love our children, we must discipline them so that they not fall prey to the influence of what society is teaching. No question about it. The difficulty here is the following. Rav Lapyan said a tremendously important insight. He said that Be'ikvus de Mashiach chutzpah yaskei, in the times of Mashiach there will be an abundance of chutzpah, is not a curse. It's a blessing. What do you mean? Hashem gave the chutzpah in the times of Mashiach to be able to withstand all of the nisyonos and the trials that we're faced with nowadays, which the likes our people have never seen in our history. A teacher shared with me that a girl was sitting in class, a girl in high school, was sitting in class with her hood over her head. She didn't feel well, but she had her head down on the desk. She was watching a movie. Yes, she had her hood over her head, and there were earphones in her ear, and she had her MP4. And she was watching a movie in the middle of class. She didn't feel well. You can get 300 channels of cable television on your mobile phone. Inquire the next time you go to your store to tip up. What can I tell you? The Nisyanis reflect internet. Internet is something the likes of mankind has never seen before. The benefit of internet and what can be achieved through internet, but the dangers of internet are equal. Someone was depressed, the child I was dealing with, a bacher, and he went to a yoetz, an advisor. I don't know what kind of advisor he was. And he said, what's your problem? He says, I want to commit suicide. Okay, he said, just go on the web. There's a site that teaches you how to commit suicide. What's your problem? The internet, the dangers. I did a tricky search. I did it once, and I did it on my Palm Pilot where the internet doesn't come out clear. I punched in the word pornography onto Google. I wanted to see how many places would come up. Google is a search engine on the internet, for those of you that are familiar. And 21 million places came up. And the second one, which I didn't look at too long, was tens of thousands of legal pornographic downloads. You can, if you wish, with the press of a button, receive tens of thousands of pornographic downloads onto your computer. Not to be believed. So how are you supposed to withstand? How are you? You go. What do we need internet for? I came to London just a week from today, a week ago. I walk into the street. You can't even look at the advertisements on the buses. You can't even hold your head up when you walk in the street and not be sure that you won't see something you're not supposed to be looking at. So what will give us the koyach? What will give us the strength to withstand? Chutzpah. We need that chutzpah. Chutzpah is a strength. And Be'ikvasa de Mashiach chutzpah yaskei, we need that strength to be able to withstand. Not only to withstand, we want to accomplish nowadays. And there are so many obstacles in our way, all across the way. How will we accomplish any davar shebikdusha? Rav Chatzko Levinstein, Mashgiach of Panovich Zatzal, said that nowadays it's a miracle that exists something called a Ben Torah. It's not B'derech HaTeva. It's not possible because the anti-Kedusha, the koiches of impurity are so great. It's not, you know, the Or HaChaim, we're in Parshas Shemot, we just studied the Or HaChaim in Mitzrayim, they were in the 49th Shar HaTumah. And they couldn't have gone further, because had they gone further, they never would have gone out. Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that nowadays we are in the Chamishim Shar HaTumah. We're in the 50th, because we're after Kabbalah HaTorah. Since we've already received the Torah, so with the koyach of the Torah, even though we're in it, we can get out of it. But we're in it. That's where we are. And 30 years ago, 35 years ago, 40 years ago, Rabbi Yechezkel Levinstein already said, it's not possible that a Ben Torah can exist. There's so much impurity around. What would he say nowadays? He wouldn't be able to exist himself. So with all that doing, how are we supposed to have a davar shebikdusha? How can we accomplish in this world? The only way is with chutzpah. The Chazon Ish says, there's a terrible thing, it's called midos ra'os. But there's an even more terrible thing. Says the Chazanish, look in Emuna Ubitachen, if you will. He says something more worse than Midas Rois is a Mida Toiva out of place. Shalabim Kaima. Because Midas Rois, if I have Kas, if I have Gaiva and other Midas Rois, I'll learn Musar, I'll look into the Svarim, and I'll rebuke myself. I'll teach myself otherwise. A Mida Toiva out of place is a very serious illness. There's no cure for it. That's what Chazanish said. He says it regarding chutzpah. That many people do not accomplish in Kedusha because they have busha. Busha is a wonderful thing, says the Chazanish. Amida taiva. To be a baishas panim legan eden. Wonderful thing, Chazanish says. But it's unfortunate that the baishas panim sometimes uses that busha. And he won't come to learn in Beis Medrash. What if people see me? You know, I'm older. What about this? And I'll have to take off from work a little bit. They'll come over to me. I'll daven along Shemena Esrei, and they'll think I became a tzaddik. And other types of things. So I'm embarrassed. Because I'm embarrassed, I won't accomplish. Says the Chazanish, too bad this fellow wouldn't have a little bit of chutzpah. It would get him very far. Lu haya mizuyan b'mida sa'azus v'ha'chutzpah. Says it's the words of the Chazanish. Halavai he would have chutzpah. Says Rav Lapian, Bikva said the Meshicha chutzpah yaske, we need chutzpah. Chutzpah will help us and assist us in accomplishing and achieving Dvarim Shebikdusha. I once had a Talmud, very insolent young man, very chutzpahdik. Perhaps the most chutzpahdik young man I've ever met in my life. It's possible. And in Israel we have what we call a Yom HaZikaron L'Chalalei Tzahal. Memorial Day for the soldiers that were killed. This is a secular holiday. We have not designated it from Yidden. The secular world has commemorated the memory of the soldiers by dedicating one day. On that day, the air raid siren goes off at 11 a.m. in the morning. Secular people stop their cars in the middle of the road. They get out and they stand at attention. In Hebrew, it's called La'amod Dom, to stand silently at attention. Of course, on that day, our cheder, our primary school, which we have in Yerushalayim, we do not keep the children at break at that time because we do not want to hurt anyone's feelings, cause a chilul Hashem in any way. We'll have break earlier so the children can be in class learning at the time the air raid siren is underway and the ceremonies are underway. And who do you think did not stay in yeshiva at that day in cheder? This young, wonderful man. Wonderful young man. He snuck out. He made it his business to go to one of the busiest intersections of Yerushalayim, Rechov Shmuel HaNavi, Rechov Bar Ilan. He wanted to see all the cars stopped and how all the people stand at attention, this wonderful fellow. And who was waiting for him? 11-and-a-half-year-old boy, the television reporter. And they couldn't have found a better candidate. Ma, ata lo omed dom? You don't stand at attention when the siren goes off? No. And don't you care about the soldiers that were killed? No. Is this what they teach you in your Haredi school? Yes. They broadcasted this wonderful sweet fellow nationwide on nationwide television that very evening. Of course, we were very pleased to receive many phone calls and other types of, I don't remember exactly how it went. I won't tell you what we wanted to do to that child. I will tell you that somehow we managed to weather the storm. We got through that incident, and we still tried to help this child succeed, believe it or not. He's now a married younger man. He has a few children. I met him not too long ago. They tell me the following. He's a major, he's a choshava younger man, a Talmud Chacham, but he's a major askan. He started a neighborhood in Yerushalayim of Young Delight, and he built them a shul. And he said it was an impossible thing. No one else in the neighborhood was able to do it. Maybe perhaps 10, if not over 100 Young Delight live in a neighborhood, and they needed a shul desperately, and no one could do it. And he, with his chutzpah, was able to do it. He says himself, I don't know how I did this. I know Hashem helped me. And he built them a shul. They have a shul in that neighborhood. We need chutzpah to accomplish. especially in the face of the obstacles we are faced with today. So the question becomes even stronger. So how do I deal with disrespect in a way that I won't stump out the chutzpah, I will channel the chutzpah. That the child will be able to take the chutzpah and use it for where they need to use it, as opposed to my just obliterating it and knocking it out totally. So again, I say and I reiterate, don't let your children become like the animals of society today. But still, we need to deal with it in a way that will channel it, like Rav El Lapian says, they need it to be able to be matzliach. And so, let's explore some options. We don't have a lot of time. Option number one, fight with them. Force them. If they're chutzpahdik, I will not stand for it. Good, I will punish them. And if they fight me back, I will fight back even stronger. And if they don't react positively to my discipline, which I'm disciplining them, so I will fight them back and they will fight me back. I will fight back stronger. So that's not necessarily the correct approach. Because when one is pulled into a fight, it can diminish the respect the child has for me. I have to share with you a story that happened to me in an Israeli taxi. There's a place called Geula in Yerushalayim. Perhaps you're familiar. And I was taking a taxi from Geula, my office, to the central bus station, Tachana Merkazit. And my taxi driver was of Yemenite descent. We'll call him, just for understanding, we'll call him a Taimani. And his name was Chizki. That wasn't his name, but a name, but Chizki the Taimani. Fine, now Chizki was a very fiery taxi driver. And he loved certain animals, you'll soon hear. So as we went down the street, Rehov Yaakov Meir in Geula section of Yerushalayim, someone had the audacity to cross the street while the taxi was coming. It was very not right. How did the taxi's coming? How do you cross the street? So Chizki gave his opinion of this fellow. He told himself, Ata chamor ata. You are a chamor, if you know what the word means, a chamor, a four-legged creature. It's not complimentary. Yes. Okay, we went further. We came to a street called Rehov Rashi. And someone had the audacity to make a U-turn. And he's holding up traffic. So our fellow Chizki did not appreciate his holding up the traffic. And he gave his opinion of this fellow. Ze mamash chamor. This is a real chamor. The previous one was not a real chamor. Let's go further. We come to a street called Rehov Yafo Bal Haturim. We took Bal Haturim down all the way, Rehov Haturim, excuse me, all the way down to Rehov Yafo Junction, Jaffa Road, and there's a stop sign. Of course, we wait in line, like everyone else, to make a right turn. It takes time till everyone waits, no cars coming, then we can make a right turn. If you're a chevreman, you will cut through the gas station. There's a gas station on your right. Why wait in line at a stop sign? You can cut through on the right side. But of course, we were stuck in the line. There was nothing we could do. And as we were stuck in the line, someone made a right turn and cut through the gas station. And Chizki was very upset. Ze avaryan. Chamor ben chamor she'en lo sechel. Let me explain to you. This is a criminal chamor. Till now we were dealing with legal chamorim, law-abiding chamorim. This is a chamor, and they're multiplying, they're having children, it's a chamor ben chamor. The previous ones had sechel, this one ain't no sechel. Okay, I don't know exactly how it's working, we're just beginning the story. Someone on the other side of the two-way radio really knew how to get Chizki upset and press his buttons. We call it la'atven in Hebrew. So all of a sudden I hear a bus call coming out from the two-way radio. Chizki tishma, pam rishona b'chayim shekibalti tip mitaymani. This is the first time I ever got a tip from a taymani. He's telling it to Chizki, who's a taymani. Very not nice. And Chizki, of course, went for the bait. And he starts screaming, it's not true, everybody's giving tips. No, it's not true, don't say that. But this fellow knew the broken record technique. Just repeat yourself. Chizki tishma, pam rishona kibalti tip mitaymani. So you could see Chizki was short-circuiting. You could almost see the smoke coming out of his ears. He was about to explode. And the fellow kept at it. Chizki tishma, very nervy fellow. Chizki tishma parmishonaki balti tibet. Till Chizki lost it. And he gave his opinion of this fellow. Tishma, kishata alita arza, when you moved to Israel, mechir hachamorim yarad. The price of donkeys went down. At that moment, said the Chizki tishma, he's doing it to intentionally bait you. He's doing it intentionally to get you upset. Why are you falling for it? Why don't you just ignore it and not lower yourself to his level? And Chizki was listening, but then Chizki tishma parmishanata. There was nobody to talk to. He just went for the fight. When I got out of the taxi, I felt compassion for him. I did what I could. I gave him a tip. He ran right back to the two-way radio. Okay, even Ashkenazi gives tips. It's not true. Everybody gives tips. Okay. I will tell you honestly that I had less respect for Chizki when I exited that taxi than when I entered that taxi. Because a person that will fight for their respect is diminishing their respect in the eyes of all of those observing, including the one he's fighting with. So if we want our children to have more respect for us, and we must discipline Chosech Shiftei Seinei Benoi, but if it will become a fight and we're fighting with them, it's not going to work. It's going to backfire, and they will have less respect for us. So what are we supposed to do? It's a long class. I'm cutting out certain parts. You know, Rav Vosner says a tremendous thing, Rav Vosner of Bnei Brak, something which is unusual, people may not be aware of. The famous pasuk I've been quoting and mentioned here at least three times in this class just this morning. Chosech Shiftei Seinei Benoi. Does anyone know the end of that pasuk? Chosech Shiftei, those that spare the rod, Seinei Benoi, they hate their child. Not spare the rod and spoil the child. Spare the rod and hate the child. What should the end of that pasuk be? Asks Reb Vosner. It should be the oyavoy, the one who loves him, yafli makoisov. He will hit him with tremendous, a lot. He will hit him a lot. Yafli makoisov. That's not what it says. The oyavoy, if you love your child, shaycha roi musa. Teach them. Teach them, instruct them. Says Rav Vosner, that's the first stage that must be practiced. Teach your children. Parents say to me all the time, if I don't hit them, how will they learn not to cross the street? Of course you have to hit your children when they need it. I'm not going into that. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says in his Sefer that you should, he says, hitting, these are his words, le'itim rechoykais v'loy mitoich ka'as, not out of anger. We have a Kabbalah, ish mi pi ish. I have it from my rabbis to their rabbis to the Vilna Gaon, that when a person hits out of ka'as, they're over two lavim in the Torah, lo yosif pen yosif. So of course one has to hit when it's in place, like Reb Chaim says, of v'loy mitoich ka'as. The first night I was here in England, I met someone who's a native Londonite, I believe, from London, and he told me his father was not religious. But his father, and he said, my father used to cane me. Now, I'm originally from the States. I didn't know what a caning means. He explained to me he had to fetch a cane, and he had to bring it to his father. And his father held the cane, and then the boy would say vidui, you know, like before a person passes from this world, they say vidui, he would say what he did wrong. And the father would cane him, 1, 2, 3, and finally he says, I have tremendous respect for my father. I said, why? He said, because my father would never cane me right away. He would wait perhaps a half hour, perhaps an hour, a non-religious man. And I asked him why. He said, common sense, please hear this. Common sense, because if I hit you when I'm angry, I'm hitting you for me, and you'll resent me. If I'm hitting you when I'm calm, I'm hitting you for you, and you'll respect me for it. And do you know this young man today is in his 50s, and he has great respect for his father? Not to be believed. So first of all, why am I reminded of this? So, if you want your children to accept your discipline, first of all, teach them not only to hit them, but also teach them. A taxi driver, a different one, taught me how to teach one's children to cross the street. He said, he struck up a conversation with me. He says, all my children know to cross the street properly. I said, how did you do it? Did you hit them? To me, it was clear the only way to do it is by hitting. How else, you know? If I don't hit them when they cross the street, how will they know? So he says to me, hitting? What's it have to do with hitting? So I was as puzzled as you were. You were both puzzled. So how do you teach your children to cross the street? He says, what do you mean? I taught them. I said, what do you mean you taught them? Yes, I took them to the street. I took them to the curb, we call it sidewalk in America, took them next to the street, and we stood there as the cars were coming. And we looked, and we saw, is it dangerous? Is it not dangerous? Can we go in the street if cars are coming? Should we be careful? We observed others that were crossing. Are they doing it the correct way? Are they endangering themselves? And so on. And I did it again and again and again. And he said to me, all my children know how to cross the street. I said, from what age did you begin? From Gil Efes. From age zero. A very young age. An Adam Gadol, Talmud of the Chazon Ish, Rav Moshe Turk in Bnei Brak, once told me that a parent must have stories, many stories prepared for their children. Read stories. Learning Musa with your children is a wonderful thing. The Stipler would sometimes recommend, sometimes, this is an exception, to learn Musa with a young child even to the ages of 3, 3.5. I asked the Gedolim about this, and they told me, and Rav Turk told me the same, Musar is one thing, that's a question before the ages of 6 and 7. Still, stories are the most powerful tool you have to teach your children. Tell them stories about Midas Tovah. Tell them stories about people that had respect. Tell them stories about people that were ne'elavim ve'einam oilvim. Tell them stories. The Gemara in Kedushin says that a person that doesn't answer back is a miyuchas. They used to watch to see when two people would fight, who would be the first one to answer back. They knew the other one was a miyuchas. He was more chashuv. Tell them stories. That's first of all. So please, yes, we have to react. We have to discipline. And if you don't discipline, it's a crime. But it's not sufficient. We must teach. Teach by telling stories. Teach by teaching. Have discussions with your children about respect. Not when they've done it. Not when they've committed the infraction and their defenses. At neutral times, you're going with your child somewhere. You're going anyway, food shopping. You're taking them to a simcha. Have a short and sweet conversation with them. Teach them values. You know, we come from a very prestigious family. My Zayda was Avraham Avinu. And Yitzchak Avinu, we're descendants of Ahavam Yitzchak V'Yafei. We're the Am Kodesh, Ki Am Kodesh Atah L'Hashem. Other things, tell them all kinds of things to make them proud that they're Yidden. That's something that may not be taught nowadays, to be proud that you're a Yid. You know, someone on the highway broke his car, and he was stopped on the side of the highway, and he was wearing a kippah. So another from Yid stopped for him. And he helped him with his car, and then afterwards he spoke with the fellow and he said, tell me, where do you live, where do you daven, whatever. So I said, I'm not Jewish. I said, what do you mean, you're wearing a kippah? Yes, I have a kippah in my car, because I noticed that whenever someone's stuck and they're wearing a kippah, someone else stops for them. Just in case I would get stuck, I had a kippah. Tell your children what it means to be a Yid. It's a privilege. There's tremendous pride in being a Yid. I won't tell you the story of George Washington. There's a story in Hanukkah about George Washington. Time is very short. I'll try to conclude, but I will tell you, it's a famous story. I brought it down in the book. It's documented in other places. A religious soldier lit Hanukkah candles the first night of Hanukkah at the Battle of Valley Forge. I'm sure you all know about that, the Battle of America and England. And you should know that George Washington found this soldier and he conversed with him, and the soldier gave encouragement to George Washington. George Washington was impressed by the fact that a Jewish soldier was lighting Hanukkah candles in the middle of the war. And that encouraged him, and he went on to become the first president of America. I'll call upon him. Someone told me, I got an email from someone 2 weeks ago, that they are a descendant of this person who lit the Hanukkah candle. Imagine, to be a Yid is the greatest kavod that can be. Tell it to your children. The biggest way to teach, though, even though we have to teach and tell, the biggest way to teach respect to our children is by example. Someone said the following. They said, what you are speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you're saying. The same idea is Gadol Shimusha Yaseh Melimuda. You teach more by your actions than by your lecture. Therefore, teach respect by example. I'll go through it very quickly. We have to conclude. First of all, how you treat your spouse. That's a very good example. If you're respectful towards your spouse, whatever issues there are, please keep them behind closed doors if you can. If you can't, seek advice. But for the children's sake, they will learn respect if you treat your spouse with respect. What about treating your own parents with respect? If children see you treating your own parents with respect, when you have your own parents, I saw a bumper sticker, I don't know how they call it here, they have stickers on the back of cars with all kinds of interesting phrases. And one of them I saw said, treat your children nicely because they will decide which nursing home to put you in. You have to have respect for your own parents. When children see that, do you know what it does for them when they see you being mechabed your father, when they see you being mechabed your mother, and so on? It's a tremendous lesson for children. What about being mechabed talmidei chachamim? What about not speaking down on anyone, even if you don't like their style? Even if you're not pleased with the way they dealt with a certain inyan, please preserve their dignity. Don't speak out and knock them down, because your children will suffer from it. Your children will have less respect for you if you have less respect for Talmidei Chachamim. Finally, in the last place, and I'll conclude with this, Bezat Hashem, one of the most effective ways to teach respect is how you treat your child. I'll just read you a quick poem, and I'll tell you one maisa and what Diane Abramsky said. You're from England. It says here the following. Children learn what they live. If a children lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a children lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with fear, he learns to be apprehensive. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. Now there's a flip side of the coin. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns to be confident. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. The list goes on. I would like to add in one line to that poem that does not say, if a child is respected, he will have respect for you. It's the same idea. Rav Palm used to say it in this way. Rav Palm, one of the Gedolei Torah of America, he said, Kavdehu v'chashdehu. Even when you want to discipline your child, chashdehu, even at the time of chashdehu, still kavdehu. Rabbi Zalman Meltzer said, it was a maaser with a child, we don't have time to go into it, I have to conclude, but he did say, kavod habriyas is gizat givaren oichet oifkinder. There is such a bria as preserving a child's dignity. A great educator in Eretz Yisrael came to Diane Abramsky, and he said to him, I'm becoming a malamed in primary school. I'm afraid. Mark Twain said, he didn't mention Mark Twain, but Mark Twain said that good judgment comes from experience. and experience comes from bad judgment. So make your cheshbon. One will first have bad judgment, then experience, then good judgment. So I'm afraid, he said, until I get the experience, I may have bad judgment and I could hurt children, chas v'shalom. How will I be careful that I won't be nichshal? And Dayan Abramsky said, if you keep this one chazal, you will not be nichshal. You will not hurt anyone. Which chazal? Yehi kvoid talmidcha chaviv olecha kishalach. Preserve your student's dignity. So I conclude with what we began. Chaysech shiftai sayne benai. You must discipline. But when you're disciplining, you must not humiliate your child. Don't tell them you're a good for nothing. You will never amount to anything. What's the matter with you? You're a batlan, you're a this and you're a that, and shame them and humiliate them, because it's, you're all Nevi'im. Did you know that? All of you are Nevi'im. Yes, I know you'll tell me, you're all prophets. I know you'll tell me the Gemara says when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, there was no longer Nevuah. It's not true. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Please keep, bear that in mind. So please discipline your children. But when you discipline them, preserve your dignity. Treat them in a respectful way, and they will have respect for you. Thank you.